You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
Hey, Maestro, I got a question for you. Have you ever felt like one of those little bitty hamsters on that little, you know, the little plastic wheel that the hamster keeps running?
Every day.
Every day. So you feel like you're stuck in a fishbowl just running in place,
yeah,
hey, baby?
That's it.
All right. That is, you know, a lot of people feel trapped like that stupid little hamster stuck in that stupid fish tank running in place. And if that's what you feel like today, hopefully we can give you some insight on what the next step is for God's calling in your life. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, in studio today with Gary Maestro Miller. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. Now, if you, you're welcome to share your questions, comments, and at phone, text, or email. You can call us or text us at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or send an email to robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now, there are tons of articles out there that I have read recently that revolve around this topic, how to know when it's time to quit your job. We've reviewed some articles like that before on the program, and we'll review others in the future. But for now, I'm not going to do that in great detail. All I want to point out now, all I want to focus on now, is this. For the Christian who's walking with God, there really won't be any doubt when it's time to go. Whether or not you're brave enough to go is another story. But when it's time to go, if you feel like the Lord is tugging at your heart and your mind and your soul to take a different career step somewhere else, maybe He wants you to serve Him in some other capacity or some other, maybe even some other industry totally, you'll know it. You'll know it without a doubt. And again, you may or may not have the courage to take that step, but you'll know when it's time to go. So if you are in that position where you feel like it may be time to move on to some different step of vocation, it's not a bad idea to start poking around now before you take that final leap on where you might want to go in terms of where would God have you to go. So in that light, in that spirit, what I want to do for you is enjoy one of our favorite features here on the Career Callings program. It's time now for...
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Yes, maybe the Lord is telling you it's time to take this job and shove it. So if it is, where are you going to go? Well, again, you should start looking for where you want to go before you take that final leap if you can. Sometimes timing won't allow you to do that, but if you can, you should have a good idea of where you're going. So I want to share with you some excerpts from an article in the Business Insider website, or on the Business Insider website, businessinsider.com. And it is labeled The 10 Best Jobs for 2015, authored by a lady named Jacqueline Smith, published back in November of 2014. So a little bit behind the curve there, but I think it'll still be very, very useful for us to investigate here. And as she writes, Career Builder, and many of you, many of us are familiar with CareerBuilder.com, one of the big, huge online job exchanges, if I can say it that way. Career Builder partnered with a group called Economic Modeling Specialists to compile a new list of the hottest jobs. And the way they came up with this is they did an analysis of supply and demand. In other words, you got a lot of employers looking for people to fill these positions, and there aren't enough people to fill these positions. So that's one of the main criteria for this list of top 10 jobs. So here are some very well-paying jobs of people who are just, you know, dying to have people work for them, and there's just not enough candidates out there. And it just kind of tune in, see if some of these might appeal to you. The first one that I have here in the article is a marketing executive. Right now, there are almost 23,000 more openings than there are candidates for this job. So marketing executives, and the median annual pay for this is just over $119,000. Maestro over there is getting very, very excited. He's scaring me. Moving on to number two here, software developer, application software developer. That would include people doing applications or creating applications for computers, for iPhones, for iPads, for your Android devices. There are currently 21,000 more openings than there are people to fill them. Median annual pay, just under $93,000. Next, we've got registered nurse. There are about 19,000 more openings than there are peeps for those openings. And the median annual pay is just under $68,000. And, of course, there are no many nurses that are earning six figures. So it really would vary on where you go to work and what part of the country you're in. Industrial engineers are on this list as well. Currently, there are about 18,000 more openings across the country than there are peeps to fill those openings. Median annual pay, $81,000 a year. Network and computer system administrator, 17,000 more openings than people to fill them. Median annual pay, just under $75,000 per year. Web developer, that would be the smart people who can actually, write codes. And I guess what's the newest thing, Maestro? The HTML5 coding? You are the tech savvy guy. You would know.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea. That's pretty typical. But anyway, let's move on. Web developer, 15,000 more openings than there are people to fill them. Median pay per year, $58,000. Medical and health services manager, 15,000 more openings than there are people, $91,000 per year median pay. Physical therapist. I've got lots of friends I go to church with that are physical therapists. So it's interesting to hear some of the things they get to do on a daily basis, and it's interesting stuff. And of course, they're doing a great work helping people, as anybody in any of these jobs are. They're helping people. But for physical therapists, there are 13,500 more job openings than there are people to fill them. And the median annual pay is about $80,000 a year. A couple more here on the list. Next to last will be the speech and language pathologist. 8,000 more openings than there are people to fill. Median annual pay, $70,000. And then finally, a sales manager. For those of you who are sales-minded, sales manager positions are 6,000 more positions than there are people available to fill them. And median annual pay, $106,000. You know, I heard a long time ago, if you're a good salesman, your pay is whatever you want it to be. And so there's a lot of upside potential there as a salesman or sales manager. In this case, sales manager was the 10th. Hottest job, according to this Business Insider article, the 10 best jobs for 2015. All right, now, to kind of wrap that idea up, let me just ask you this question. Do one of these things sound interesting to you? And if they do, if one of these things touched your fancy, then, and if not, if there was nothing in this list that touched your fancy, maybe there's something else that you've heard about or learned about lately that you think you'd like to investigate further, you should do that. And whatever direction the Lord has kind of tweaked your heart and your mind, you should kind of take some baby steps in that direction to learn a little bit more about whether or not you're designed for that kind of work. And just because you might think you want it doesn't mean you are designed for it. I've actually dipped my toe in some worlds in the past 20 years since I've been out of college that I thought I really wanted to get involved with, and only found out that once I got started, I was not fitly designed for that kind of work. What attracted me, unfortunately, was the money. And isn't that what most of us do anyway? We go chasing the money. Show me the money. Well, unfortunately, a lot of times when you get into the day-to-day nitty-gritty grind of work, the money is not quite as attractive when you're miserable. So maybe you want to investigate something. Make sure you do so very detailed in a very detailed way before you take the plunge. And that's one of the things we do at Career Callings. We have an extensive process that has been developed for over 30 years to help people understand what kinds of work God created them based on their personality, their skills, their abilities, their interests, and their values. And then we help them work through a process to find a career match that syncs up with their design. And we've partnered with two organizations, Crown Ministries, co-founded by the late Larry Burkett, and then also Crossroads Career Network, founded by Brian Ray, former executive with Chick-fil-A. So we work with those groups to help people find God's calling in their lives. Now, you certainly can do some initial research on your own. Plenty of places on the web to do that. I'm going to give you a web address that I think will... I know will be insightful for you. If you want to learn a little bit more about what it takes to be a sales manager or a physical therapist or something else not on that list, go to this website, and I will, by the way, put a link to this website on careercallings.net/radio page so that you would have it there on my website as well. But it's called onetonline.org, Onet Online, spelled O-N-E-T-O-N-L-I-N-E, Onet Online.org. It's a government website, and it's in partnership with the American Job Centers and so on. And just about every job you can think of is listed on that website with a list of average pays. They even have it broken down by state, what kind of personality, skills, abilities, education someone would need to be able to qualify in those fields of work and do a good job. And so, with that little bit of suggestion, that wraps up this edition of
Take This Job and Shove It.
Thank you, Johnny Paycheck, for that insightful statement, Take This Job and Shove It. All right, now let's just kind of explore this a little bit further. Now, maybe you have been doing something for a while, and you think you have to be wedded to that industry. Let's say, for example, you have been a physical therapist for a long time, and you're looking for a next job, but you're sick and tired of being a physical therapist. You want to do something else, but you feel like that since you've been doing that for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you got no option but to stay in that field. And what I want to start exploring pretty much after the break is this idea of transferable skills. You don't have to. And I think a lot of times we shortchange ourselves by staying focused on the industry where we have some experience, maybe even where we have some credentials. I think what we'll find out on the other side of the break is that you don't have to be wedded to a particular industry. You have developed some skills and abilities that can indeed be transferred to other industries, and you can make a huge impact there. So if you were thinking about playing hooky during the second half of this program, don't do it. Come back on the other side of the break, all right?
Would you please welcome the pride of Alexandria, Indiana, your host, Bill Gaither.
Hey, thanks, Bill, and welcome to Homecoming Radio. Do we ever have a great show for you?
You can hear some of the great music you grew up with on Bill Gaither's Homecoming Radio, Saturday evenings at 11 on Christian Talk 92.9.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries, through its Career Direct Assessment, has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover and let us help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. Again, that's careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
When BNC Cleaners opened in 1959, they promised their customers quality and convenience with a friendly and knowledgeable staff without taking them to the cleaners on price. And today, BNC Cleaners is still satisfying customers, carrying through with that promise. They're in Greenville on Wade Hampton Boulevard at Church Street and at Hillcrest Cleaners in Simpsonville behind the Coach House restaurant. It's time to switch to BNC Cleaners.
8-year-old Anna Esmeralda was at death's door from severe malnutrition. Springing into action, Dr. Laura Luke and the hospital staff in Guatemala treated their tiny patient with God's love. And over the next 6 weeks, Anna regained her smile, her energy, and her life. Dr. Laura Luke, her husband Mike, and their five daughters left the comforts of Spartanburg, South Carolina to win souls, like little Anna's, for God through medical missions. To learn more about, pray for, or financially support the Lukes, visit hopebound.org. That's hopebound.org.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
All right, welcome back for the break. It's Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. Glad to have you. And you can call and text or email your questions or comments about the show to 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or reach me at Robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Right before the break, we were just introducing the idea of this. If you feel like the Lord would have you investigate other avenues of work, maybe you're designed for some other type of work than what you're in now. And we talked about the fact that a lot of people pigeonhole themselves or box themselves in thinking that, well, I've got 5 years, 10 years, 15 years of experience in this industry, then, all the jobs I should look at should be in this industry for positions in this industry. And we think that's what we have to do because that's where our experience is. What we don't realize is that's not the case. And a lot of times we shortchange God's calling in our lives because we're thinking in that human way without understanding that God's got a lot broader reach than that. And a lot of us, when we spend 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years in an industry, we develop skills and abilities that sure they work in that industry. Well, they'll work in other industries as well. And so what we should do is be clear about, what our skills and abilities are, how they can be transferred into other industries, and then help the people hiring for positions in those other industries to understand how we can apply those skills and abilities in there or to their needs. Now, let me just read with you or kind of an excerpt for you from an article written by Liz Ryan. It's called "Dear Hiring Manager, I Feel Your Pain." And Liz Ryan is a career coach. She's a contributor to Forbes magazine and has a lot of insightful articles in Forbes regarding this several different career-related concepts. And in this article called "Dear Hiring Manager, I Feel Your Pain," she did kind of chronicle the story of a student of hers that came to one of her workshops. Now, it's a fictitious name, but we'll call her Amy. And this was Amy's story. Basically, she had moved from across country to where she lived now, and she was looking for jobs. She wanted to get a job in the animal shelter industry, because that's what she had been working in for a long, long time. And she had reached management level positions in her old job and had the skills and abilities to do that. But unfortunately, when she moved to where she moved to, all the animal shelters were stocked up full of employees. There were no openings for her level of management skills and abilities, so she didn't know what to do. And Liz basically asked her, "Are you willing to look outside of the animal shelter industry?" To which Amy responded, "I don't have any choice. unless I want to move again, I got to do that." So what Liz and the other folks in that workshop spent some time doing is trying to help Amy understand what skills and abilities she had developed during her time working in animal shelters. And that included things like general management abilities, how to manage a budget for an operation, how to fundraise, how to mentor and manage people. And after she began to realize that these were some core skills that she had developed in that workplace, then the question was, okay, how and where can you share those same skills and abilities? What other types of industries can you get into with them? And Amy then responded, well, look, I don't stand a chance applying for those other jobs, because as soon as I put my application on the internet online job application service, the fact that I had no experience is going to kick me out. To which Liz then responded, well, that's why we tell our people don't ever apply through the internet. They like to call that the black hole machine, because you're not ever considered by a human being. You're either considered or kicked out by some sort of algorithm. So what Liz recommends to her clients is this. Basically, if you see a job opening, what you should do is find out who the hiring manager is. And you can oftentimes find those people out through LinkedIn, through the company website, by picking up the phone and calling and asking the receptionist. And you can find who that person is and what address to mail them a letter called a pain letter. That's what Liz likes to call it, a pain letter. And in that letter, you can bypass the black hole machine and help that hiring manager understand that you understand their pain and that you have the skills and abilities to alleviate that pain. And so taking Liz's advice, Amy did send a pain letter. She bypassed the black hole machine. She sent a pain letter to a guy that was advertising for a second in command to help open a brand new call center, customer service call center, that was going to hire eventually 200 employees. And Amy met with this fella because 2 days after she sent the letter, he calls her. He had gotten the letter. He read it. He was really excited. He said, do you really think you could handle this? And Amy's response was, well, let's talk about it. So they got together, had a job interview. Long story short, this guy was amazed at her skills and abilities and offered her the job on site. Now, as it turned out, Amy did not accept the job, because as she learned more about what that job would require, she understood that she would not be happy there. But the whole point is this. She learned that she had skills that would be transferable across any number of jobs and industries. She was not going to be pigeonholed or boxed in just to animal shelter work. And she eventually became the manager of an art gallery. And all of that was because someone finally helped her to understand you don't have to be pigeonholed into this one little box here, okay? And you don't. None of us do. None of us do. Now, what that all boils down to is this. In order to get your next job, in order to, if you do own a business, in order to get that next client, what you really need to understand is, what pain is your potential employer undergoing? What pain is your potential client undergoing? And show them how you can alleviate it, and that's how you get work, either from a hiring manager or from a new client. So to kind of get an idea about what it's like to get into the head of a hiring manager, just take a listen at this.
Mrs. Carruthers, welcome.
Thank you.
Come on in, have
Thanks
a seat.
Me.
Of course. I have been looking over your resume, and I have to say I am very impressed.
Oh, thank you.
You know, actually, I think, to be honest, you are overqualified to be an accountant.
Oh, well, that's okay. I don't intend to work very hard.
Really?
Absolutely. In fact, I only intend to show up when I feel like it, which is good, because I have a wide variety of extremely annoying personal habits and absolutely no sense of hygiene.
Oh! You know, then, I don't feel like you're then the correct person for this position.
That's okay, I quit.
Yeah, you can't quit, you don't work here.
Like I would ever work here.
Like we would ever hire you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And even if you did work here, I wouldn't even give you the opportunity to quit, because I would fire you.
Well, you can't fire me because I don't work here.
That's right. You don't. And I would can so quick.
Prove it.
Okay. You've got the job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And now it is my pleasure to inform you that
I quit.
You can't quit. I fired you.
No, it's too late. I don't work here anymore.
Fine. Let's try this again. You've got the job and now you're fired.
No, you offered me the job, but I never accepted. Look, I've already worked for you. It's very tedious. And now you want me back. I I think it's a regressive career move.
Okay, what can we do to get you to come work for us?
A raise.
A raise?
$200 an hour.
$200 an hour? Okay, prorated to the 10 seconds you're going to be working here, so 12 cents?
And this time I promise I won't quit.
You promise you won't quit? You promise you'll let me fire you?
If you still want to.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to want to. So we have a deal?
Not yet. I've already been an accountant here. I feel like I've outgrown the position. I want something higher. How about junior vice president?
Junior vice president. $200 an hour or 12 cents, whichever comes first. And you promise not to quit before I have the opportunity to fire you.
That's correct.
Great. We've got the job.
I accept.
Great. Now you're fired.
Oh, you can't fire me. I'm junior vice president. I'm your boss.
That's what I call getting into the head of your hiring manager. Talk about climbing the corporate ladder in a hurry. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, let's continue the idea of getting into the head of your hiring managers. There's another article I want to share with you very briefly called These Are the Skills You Need If You Want to Be Headhunted. This was an article that appeared in Business Week, and there was about a little over 1,300 MBA recruiters that were interviewed by Bloomberg and Business Week to try to determine what kind of characteristics MBA headhunters are looking for in their recruits. And the recruiting survey covered 24 industries, from consulting to consumer products. And basically, the recruiters in their survey could pick up to 5 skills from a list of 14 that they considered most important. The most commonly named asset was good communication, which 68% of recruiters sought, followed by analytical thinking, which was 60%, and the ability to work collaboratively, which was 55%. Interestingly, now on the flip side, only 8.9% of the recruiters listed entrepreneurship as one of their must-haves. Only 12.3% mentioned a global mindset, and here's something that I really want you to hear: only 15.2% picked industry-related work experience. And that confirms what Liz Ryan was writing about in that story of Amy we related to you just a few minutes ago. You know, contrary to popular belief, if you can demonstrate to a hiring manager that you have what it takes to solve their pain problem, industry credentials, industry work-related experience, that's not nearly as crucial to your average hiring manager. Now, yeah, is it going to be crucial to some? Sure, it's going to be crucial to some, but it's going to be a lot less crucial to a lot fewer than you think. So don't get boxed in. Allow yourself some leeway. Strategic thinking was something else that they really wanted from their candidates. Creative problem solving, leadership skills. These are the types of things they were looking for that they had a real tough time finding from their folks. Well, that's going to wrap up our program today. Thanks for joining us for today's show. If you'd like to get a copy of this show as a free podcast, or would like to get a copy of the audio clips or references to the articles we have, just go to careercallings.net/radio, and we'll have all this stuff posted there for you and your convenience. I've got a parting question for you. Do you know how God wants you to bring value to the world? If you don't, it's time to start looking.